An on button somewhere.
It's time for a cup of tech gumbo.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Haggai Davis talks technology news using language even Brian can understand.
You just don't get it.
I don't have your head for science, so I'm not going to be able to help much.
For a full serving, check out Tech Gumbo, presented by Cardinal Capital and General Informatics, Saturday and Sunday at 4.
We got 30 years worth of files right here in this computer that are going to bring you down.
A cup of Tech Gumbo on Talk 107.3.
I'm sorry, wrong password. Come on.
What's happening, man?
Ready for a great weekend, Brian.
I mean, this week is just weird. A Tuesday holiday is just weird. There's no way around that. You convene for a day. You break for a day. You reconvene for 3 days, and somehow it feels like it was an entire week anyway.
Looking forward to the first weekend in a long time where there's nothing to do, nothing to look forward
right?
to, nothing to get prepared for in the middle of next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a Saturday and Sunday.
Gotta love that. Gotta love that. Relaxing, to be sure. All right, let's dive in. We got a stack of topics to talk about. In fact, we'll go ahead with the spoiler here. You brought me in for this episode.
That's right. You were young Haggai III is traveling abroad for international studies for a month, so mm-hmm. might have a guest host or two over the month of July, and we started the month off with you as our guest host.
I appreciate that. I don't know how much you got out of me, but you know,
it was fun.
We had fun. I'm just, you know, I don't know a whole lot of stuff. For example, I didn't know the name of the guy that invented the lithium ion battery was John B. Goodenough.
I know.
That is John B. Goodenough. There's no way that's not made up.
This guy was 100 years old when he died.
Mm-hmm.
He was a...
When his battery ran out?
He didn't plug that recharge in. He's the guy who invented the lithium-ion batteries and never made a penny for it.
So as I was reading up on this dude, really eclectic.
Yes.
Like he shooed away money. He could have been a bazillionaire.
He said, look, University of Texas is paying my salary. That's all I need. He was part of the Nobel Prize in 2019, and he gave away his share of the $1 million prize.
Right?
Just, I don't need that money. So
he didn't just give it away. He rolled it over into other people that are doing research and
right.
other people that are in a similar field so that he could make sure that the science carried on,
yes.
that the advancements carried on, not so much that his bank account was full.
And this guy had taught at MIT, at Oxford. I mean, he had been a... He wasn't just another dude. I mean, right. this guy was really smart.
John B. Goodenough. And that's like legitimately his last name.
Yeah.
Goodenough.
Yeah. I love that story. So, I mean, good on him for coming up with lithium ion because it changed the way everything is charged nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything before that was the NiCads and nickel metal hydrides and things like that. And He thought it to be an unstable combination of chemicals, and he started testing around and came up with the lithium chemical to start from, and the rest is history, as they say.
Hey, so weird here, or at least I find it weird. The dude worked at MIT and then went to work for UT.
Yeah.
To go from MIT to UT Austin sounds strange to me. Is there a legitimate, like, pathway where that MIT is like the smartest of the smart. UT Austin gave us Ricky Williams. Is there like okay, how do you okay, balance okay. that?
So a lot of people don't realize that LSU has a top 20 physics program in the world.
Yes, we do.
Our physics
The Mars rover is being driven by a dude from LSU.
Right. LSU's physics program is on par with the MITs and the Stanfords of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, you would say the same thing. A guy went from MIT to LSU. He went from, you know, Goodwill Hunting to playing football on the bayou.
Right.
I mean, you know. But we've got some legitimately smart folks at LSU.
I get it. It's just as weird when it happens here. We accept it because they're ours. Yeah.
Apparently not everybody at UT is just a bunch of hayseeds. I mean, well, you know, they got some smart
okay,
folks there,
let me re-ask the question. Let me re-ask the question, and I didn't bring this up during the show. Okay. when you look at this guy's path, he moved to Texas in 1986. Was he recruited by Dell?
Oh, no.
Okay. I'm just saying, the guy that invented the battery that makes our laptops go.
Well, but it was, at the time, they were, I doubt it was Dell. It was probably just the folks in the UT engineering department.
All right. Maybe there was a correlation.
A lot of money over there at UT to pay professors a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, they do. All right. Also, this week we talked about YouTube putting a smackdown on those that use ad blockers, and this is one that's going to affect you directly.
Yes, it is. I love YouTube, and I watch a lot of YouTube, especially the Sailing Channel videos. But I've been using an ad blocker since the very first YouTube video ever turned on. Mm-hmm. I've never seen an ad on YouTube.
Oh, get ready for it.
But YouTube's going to be – they've started a testing program where you get three videos to watch, and then they're going to say, look, you've got an ad blocker there. You're going to have to take down that ad blocker or upgrade to YouTube Premium.
I'm confused as to why they'll give you three.
That's an interesting number. I mean, as you said on the show, three is the magic number.
It is. Schoolhouse Rock taught me that.
Absolutely. And so, yes, you're going to have to, if you use an ad blocker. Now, they have not completely rolled this out globally. They're just testing it the same way Netflix was just testing out their password sharing.
Yep.
And so we'll see if they go too far with it. I mean, they may decide, you know what, we'd rather scrape the data from Haggai instead of getting a couple of bucks from him for you know, we'll see.
Okay, so and having the perspective of doing the show this week, I don't want to spoil the whole show, but at the same time, the comparison to Netflix is an interesting one because YouTube can run out an experiment on charging or making sure you watch the ads, stopping the ad blocker. But when it comes, or buy the YouTube Premium, but they can't force a subscription down your throat. Now, the reason Netflix has to is because they've got overhead. Right. They've got original programming.
Even the movies that they didn't do original,
they got to pay rights for. YouTube is user contributed.
And YouTube has made their gazillions of dollars based upon selling advertising. And not
but
to
off
me,
of
though,
your back and mine.
Off of my data.
Right.
So they still know, hey, look, Haggai likes these videos over here, so we're going to go sell ads. And just because they're not showing up on YouTube, those ads still show up on other things from Google. And because YouTube's owned by Google.
Yeah.
So it behooves Google not to make me mad and want to stop watching YouTube.
Right. Because, well, they barely have a toe in the water when it comes to they're going to use our content to sell to us based off of our data. That makes no sense.
Absolutely.
Now, if you've got a monetized channel, you can earn yours back at a very small rate. But at the same time, they're using our content to sell to us based off of our data.
And their only overhead is just the bandwidth into their servers.
Right. Right. What a racket.
I'm telling you, it's better than a money machine. Just
walking, I mean,
taking money out of other people's checking accounts. I mean, it's a pretty cool gig.
The heads of the five families are wondering how they didn't get in on this racket.
You think?
Good night. Our content to sell to us based off of our data. All right, we got a break here. A little cup of tech gumbo. As part of Mornings with Brian Haldane, we got a few more minutes to go here. Okay, so all the buzz this week is about Threads. What's your early user experience with Threads?
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Your detestation for Elon Musk is because it's bad. Like, my early takeaway from Threads is, as someone pointed out on our Facebook Live, I don't really care for the name. The logo is dumb as well. The logo looks like an actual like piece of thread. But it's just, it's taking your Instagram feed and removing the pictures.
Yes.
Most of the pictures. You can still get pictures on there, But it I don't see how it's any different than what I've already got with Instagram, except to give a bird finger to Elon Musk.
So the interesting thing is I've not been really much on Instagram over the past, I don't know, decade that Instagram's been a thing.
We're older. It's just
yeah.
No, yeah.
I'm a lot older than you. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's.
I was trying to be inclusive, heck. Well, I wasn't throwing you under the bus.
No,
you geezer.
I'm 20 years older than you. It's okay. I mean, it's so to see the Instagram platform that Threads is a part of, and you have to have an Instagram account to get Threads.
Right.
And if you decide, oh, I'm going to create this Threads account and decide you don't like it and you try to leave, you have to totally delete your Instagram account.
Right.
So be careful about that. Now, there was already 30 million people who've signed up for Threads in the first 24 hours,
yeah,
which is more than 10% of Twitter's total.
We have to start looking at those numbers differently, though, because every time a new platform comes out,
everybody goes sticks their foot in the water and
yeah,
says, ooh,
it has
cold.
Ramped up greatly.
Right.
The amount of cell phones that are out there, the amount of...
Instagram has a billion people using it. So only have 30 million people switch over, that's such a small, tiny percentage.
Right. And we always look at it through the lens of, compared to when Facebook launched. Well, when Facebook launched, A, you had to have a .edu.
Right.
And B, like back in 2004... I mean, not as many people had cell phones then as do
not
now.
Not as many people were on the internet in 2004.
Also
period.
True. So just, yeah, these numbers are going
to
be.
But and so I'm not
skewed.
I'm not
to be
even
sure.
Concerned about that, but just the fact that more than 10% of the total number of people that are on Twitter signed up for Threads in 24
right.
hours. That it speaks to the level of frustration that people have with Twitter. And I love Twitter. I'm a huge Twitter user, and yes, my frustration with Elon Musk is completely about what he has done to Twitter. I mean, he has taken something that I like and use a lot and totally driven this thing into the dirt, and he's trying to bury it as best he can.
So, well, I was going to say, to go along with that, though, we don't know if it's going to be buried yet. I mean, my Twitter experience today is the exact same as it was the day before Elon took over. With one exception, I now have the opportunity to purchase that blue check, not for clout, but for optional uses that I didn't have before. I've never been able to edit on Twitter. I would have that opportunity if I were to purchase a blue check. There's a number of different things that are there, potentially there now, that I could pay for. I just don't want to pay.
And that's the same thing. So I don't like using my smartphone for Twitter or any social media things. Mm-hmm. I use my computer for that. I'm a lot older than you, so I like a bigger screen. I use TweetDeck,
yeah,
where I can have a whole lot of different Twitter feeds all rolling, so I don't have to hit refresh. And now I'm going to have to go get an $8 verified account with Twitter if I want to use TweetDeck again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to give them any money, so I can't use TweetDeck. So my potential use going forward with Twitter is now very,
okay,
very limited.
Let me ask you, can you use ThreadDeck instead? Can you look at all these different feeds without having to hit refresh so often over on Threads?
I'm not saying that that Threads is going to be my replacement for Twitter.
Yeah.
I just may not have a replacement. I may do my brain a little favor and move one less social media platform out in front of me.
Well, I think overall that's probably healthy.
That's where I'm convincing myself I'm going.
But at
with
the
it.
Same time, though, think about this, though. In order to have Threads, you have to have Instagram, right?
Yes.
So you have to trade off written word, which Twitter's primarily written word. You have to trade off written word for happy pics.
And I don't
know if that makes us better.
It. I don't know if it does either.
I know less time on my phone is a good thing.
Yes.
Except a buddy of mine got me on this Wodoku app.
Yeah.
I should have.
The whole,
such a time suck.
The whole social media mental health thing of spending less time doing it. And that may be Elon Musk. That's his whole goal, is to get us all more mentally healthy by using less social media.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he fired 80% of his staff at Twitter, which he's very, very proud of, and a lot of them went and found jobs over at Facebook and Instagram and whatnot.
I've been reading up on that lawsuit as it's been coming across, and... First of all, I don't know that everybody that threads picked up was fired by Elon.
No, no, not at all.
So if they're poaching people, even if he fired 99% and they're poaching that last 1%, they're still poaching?
Well, Meta has 250,000 employees worldwide.
So you're saying a good amount of poaching is okay? There's a tolerable amount?
I'm saying it may not have been more than 10 people that they picked up. They've been working on Threads since 2019. So that was before Elon
They've been working on Threads since 2019 and this is what we got?
Yeah, that's why, you know, I'm not all that excited about it. And so just the whole idea that Elon Musk has fired all these people. These people go get jobs, and now he's threatening lawsuits, and he sent a letter saying, hey, look, you're on notice. You've got to, you know, you can't delete any records and of anything that to do with Threads and the employees who used to work for Twitter. It's like, okay, look, Elon Musk, when he's in the Twitter building, is just like the monkey throwing poop at the wall. I mean, he's just having a wild time doing everything, but it's not really accomplishing anything.
Hey, Haggai Davis, host of Tech Gumbo. I was the fill-in co-host, I guess, this week.
Yes.
You can get it anywhere you get your podcasts, anywhere on demand, and, of course, Saturdays and Sundays at 4 right here on Talk 107.3 FM. Appreciate you, Haggai.
Anytime.